stop smiling?
I haven't. It was good yesterday. It really was. The guys played hard, did a lot of good things, both sides of the football. Actually, all three phases of the football team played well. A lot of good things, a lot of things that we're going to learn from, too. We had a lot of opportunities on both sides as far as the offense, defense, special teams is concerned that we didn't take advantage of. And those will be things that we highlight and feature to the players. We played a very good football team. We made some mistakes. They made us make some mistakes. But still, you know, we can do things better, and we're going to learn from that. But I was very pleased with the overall execution. And for the most part, I know the coaches are. But we can do things better.
Missed opportunities on offense. Obviously, there were a couple of drops there.
There were a couple of drops. Some pressure got to the quarterback that if we could have held it out a little bit, we make another big play. But again, you got to give them credit because they were able to pressure our quarterback. We had a couple runs where if we could sustain the block a little bit longer, you know, we're up into the second level. Instead of a four-yard game, we're talking about potentially a 15, 20-yard gain. And one of them that really showed what happens when you sustain blocks and you block downfield was D'Angelo's touchdown run. You know, we had some offensive linemen get to the second level and give him a chance to cut. And then we had some receivers downfield blocking and gave him a chance to make people miss. So, again, those are the kind of things that you need to do consistently, and we didn't do that consistently. Defensively, we had some opportunities, obviously, and you know, we dropped a sure – I shouldn't say sure because it wasn't sure, apparently – an interception. But we had a chance. He put himself in great position. You know, it's something that we had worked on in practice, and he just, you know, forgot to catch it. And you know, he's Kevin's a very good football player for us. He did some really nice things. He tackled very well, did a good job jamming when he had to. So, you know, even though we missed opportunities, a lot of guys played very well.
Take a big picture look at it. Why is this year's defense playing so much better than it did last year?
A year older, and I think also the influx of some other players. You know, we were able to draft two fine young defensive tackles that are playing well for us. You know, again, there was another point in the game where we had five rookies on the field. We're playing young guys. Young guys have learned very quickly. These guys know what we want to do. For a lot of these guys, it's the second or third year in the system. And at that point, you see guys playing very comfortable and very fast, which makes a huge difference. I think, you know, Luke's ascension as our middle linebacker has helped. I think the development of Mike Mitchell so quickly has helped. And we have some great veteran leadership in that group as well. You know, you look at the D-line and you look at what Charles Johnson and Greg Hardy gives that group, along with, you know, the two veteran tackles. You look at what we're getting from Thomas Davis. You look at what we're getting from Quentin Michael and Drayton Florence as far as being veteran guys in on the defensive side. Those are the kind of things that you need.
I mean, good wins during this, you know, bigger margin victory wins. How important was it to win one where the defense had to get on the field and really and had to close it out?
Well, I think that's very important in light of what happened earlier in the year, you know, the Buffalo game. I think this tells these guys that they have that kind of potential and ability to do things.
Ryland, did you say you had five rookies at
yes.
one time? And who were those?
It would be Lester. It would be KK and Starr. It would be AJ and Melvin. And I think there were a few games back where we had five on it. I think it was Tampa Bay. And these were meaningful moments. And then the Tampa Bay, same thing, meaningful moments. It was you can just switch out Wes Horton for AJ, and those were the five. So that's, you know, a couple of games. And we've had anywhere from three, four, and five rookies on the field at the same time in meaningful moments of the game as far as the defense is concerned. And it's a group of young guys that play fast. I think the things that we do on the defensive side in terms of, you know, I don't want to say keeping it simple, but keeping it familiar has really helped those guys.
Well, did Klein play and see hang on to that spot?
Well, AJ played very well. And, you know, until Chase is ready to get back, you know, we'll keep going with AJ and we'll see. You know, Chase is a little bit sore this week coming out of this game. So, you know, we're a little bit concerned about him, but we'll see how it goes. And, you know, AJ did a nice job.
Surgery or IR a possibility for Chase at all?
No. It's nothing like that, Joe. Nothing like that at all.
You know, comparisons are tough, but you've played on some good defenses. You've coached some good defenses. The way this defense is playing right now, can you compare it to any other defense you've been in?
Well, in terms of, you know, physical play stuff like that, it was a very physical game. We played a very physical nature of brand of football. And I've been associated with it, whether I was in San Diego or Chicago or Philadelphia. I think to try and compare them, you know, it would be unfair because these are different eras. These are different times, different teams that we're playing right now. But it's still, you know, what we're doing is very good, and we have a chance to be better, and that's the thing that we're going to continue to work for.
You know, you guys came off the bye and played Arizona and didn't play that well. San Francisco obviously coming off the bye and takes the loss. New England's coming off a bye. Is too much made of buys and, you know, supposed to be refreshed and should, you know, be well prepared for teams and
yes, whatnot? I think there are because, for the most part, a lot of teams get into the bye and, you know, they go back, they look at what they've done in the past, they look at what they, you know, they want to do in the future and they do some different things. Some teams don't even practice during the bye, don't even meet. So I think, yeah, a lot's made out of it. Again, it's really how you handle it as a team, how your coaching staff handles, how your players handle it coming out of it. And obviously we haven't done a very good job of that.
Defense, the sudden change, you guys, 13 points I think you've allowed this year off that? I'm at, and 13, I guess, different turnovers. Is that just a mentality, or where does that talk?
I think it's a combination of things. It is a little bit about a mentality. A little bit of about pride, you know, about wanting to stop people, wanting to make things happen. And those are, you know, that's all part of it. It's the nature of the player, you know, to have that kind of pride, that kind of mentality. You know, one of the things that I know Coach McDermott stresses that, you know, we want to play playoff caliber defense. And some of the things that we did, you know, gave us that opportunity to be successful. So we'll continue to, you know, to work on that and, you know, and continue to work on creating takeaways. You know, it's a part of what we do every day in practice, and this very special emphasis is in one of our periods of creating takeaways each game.
What's a playoff caliber defense look like?
Well, hopefully it's looked like that on Sunday.
You talked about getting contributions from all three phases. With the way the field position battle was against San Francisco, how critical was your special teams, the coverage units?
They were huge. You saw some real good things that came out of it. You know, we had Josh Thomas was activated this week. He played gunner for us, which he had done in the past, and he was outstanding making plays that he did, you know, getting tackles inside the 20. You know, we had a great job on one of the kickoffs, getting the tackle right around the 10-yard line, I believe it was. You know, our punter punted well, and we got the balls down in certain areas. I mean, more specifically, you know, we had one where we kicked the ball off, and we got him down, you know, inside the 12. So there were some really good things that went on. We got the ball down at the 1 and had an opportunity to keep the field that way, and we did. So those are huge because it's the hidden yardage that people don't realize that, you know, when you can keep a team pinned down, it's very hard to go 99 yards or 90 yards or 80 yards, what it is to score points. So that's very important, and I think our young guys are guys that are on special teams, that are our special teams contributors. Guys like Jordan Zinn take an awful lot of pride in that unit, and you know, Jordan Zinn played a very, very good game as well on special teams. And there's a number of guys. You know, Colin Jones continues to be a special team ace for us. So very pleased with what we got from that group.
Who designed the touchdown call to D'Angelo?
That's a good question. I heard the guys talking about it, again, the coaching staff talking about, you know, what they needed, and Mike came up with the call. You know, that's probably a better question for Mike as far as that one's concerned.
What do you like about Mike's play calling this year?
You know, it's interesting. The one thing is that you really watch is when he gets into the rhythms, and you see the rhythm, and you see how quickly it comes out. And all of a sudden it's just click, 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 and it's like any play caller. You know, you start the game on, you're trying to figure out what your best combination of play calling is, and then all of a sudden it happens, and it really rolls. I've been in games as a coordinator where, you know, I start calling defenses and this doesn't work, I call that doesn't work, and also I find when it works and I just stick with it. You know, I can go back in the past and there are games where I may call the same call 3 or 4 plays in a row just because it's working. You know, and you watch Mike and you see the rhythm he gets into and he sticks with it, he stays with it. And then all of a sudden it's time to do something different. And he's handled that very well. You know, when we move the ball, we move it very successfully. There's a rhythm that you can feel and you see it in the players as well. So, I like how comfortable he gets when he's calling the plays. What I like also is, Mike's not afraid to listen and ask. You know, hey, anybody got an idea? How do you guys feel about this? What do you think about this? Coach Maska, what about that run? You know, Ricky, what about these routes? And I think that's important because, again, you know, you can't see everything as a coordinator or as a coach for that matter. And you have to rely on your assistants. And I really like this group. I like the way this group is working together.
How often do you exercise your veto power in offensive play calling?
Not a lot. You know, I listen to Mike. I, you know, every now and then when one thing I don't like to do is when Mike's in a rhythm, I don't want to talk. I don't say a thing. I know probably the most important thing I say is hey, this is Riverboat Ron, let's go for it. You know, but I mean, I really am. I'm trying to see what's going on and at certain times, I may make a suggestion, but for the most part, I got a lot of confidence in what he and Sean are doing and Coach Rogers are doing as far as our coordinators. So, you know, I won't say I try to stay out of the way, but I try to make sure that when I ask something or I say something, it means something.
You're embracing it more and more, the nickname.
I'm still fighting it. I really am.
I think you said officials told you that there were three things that Davis had to establish.
Right.
What was the one he failed to do?
Well, what I was told was that they didn't think it was a football move after it. After he had caught the ball, after he had made, you know, he had showed that he had established possession, he didn't make a football move. And those are the three elements. Is, you know, you got to secure the catch, show that you have the catch and you're in bounds, and then that you have an opportunity to make a football move. And again, it's part of the game. It's all interpretation. And, you know, that's how he interpreted it. So we went with it. And, you know, I mean, it's as much as I disagree, you know, it's part of the game. It's the element that we have to accept. And that's the human element. I mean, these guys are trying to make decisions just like we are. And sometimes they're correct and sometimes they're not. But we move on and just keep playing.
Would you have been as accepting had the final outcome been different?
Probably not. It's human nature.
But just to be clear, you did disagree with the call.
Yes.
The league for.
Yeah, we'll see what kind of interpretation we get. And again, you know, the nice thing about it is, you know, working with Dean Blandino and Alberto Riveron is you know, the explanations I think are very thorough. And that is one thing I do want to say too is, you know, when we get into these conferences, you know, on the sideline during the game, the one thing I've gotten this year even more so, and I do appreciate, is the interpretation. You know, again, I may come away feeling better about it, or I may come away not agreeing with it. But at least, you know, you're getting very thorough, you know, interpretations.
In the game, I think it was like a 3rd and 9, and you called a pass, and you got the first down. Is that something that perhaps old Ron would have stepped in and said?
Yes. Those are some of the things that I listen to and I pay attention to. And you know, whether I tell Mike, hey, you know, let's think about it here, or you know, hey, we need to do it. You know, those things. But I don't want to get to the point where it's hey, you know, let's run this route, let's run that route, because again, there's a lot of things that go into what Mike is calling. It's the same thing with Sean. There's a lot goes into what Sean's doing. You know, that as a head coach, you know, I might not be in tune with at that moment because I'm trying to find out what else is going on. You know, what's the situation, what's the circumstances? Is this something I need to challenge? Do I need to look? So that's where, again, you know, when you delegate, you've got to delegate the authority, you know, but at the same time, and I've said this before, you may delegate the authority, but you most certainly don't want to, you know, delegate the responsibility in terms of this is how I want it done.
You were flat. You didn't say anything when they called that?
On which one?
On that 3rd and 9, all right?
No. No. Again, this is one of those things where at that point it's, you know, hey, Mike, do what you need to do. And again, he came up with what I thought was a great call. And, you know, I wish Steve could have been able to stay in. He tried to make a turn and ended up falling out of bounds. But, boy, if he could have turned inside, that would have been outstanding.
Right. You've talked all year about the one game, the next one being the most important. The way this sets up with your team coming in on a 5-game winning streak, the Patriots Monday night, I mean, are you – you understand that all games might not be created equal, and you want your guys to embrace this spotlight?
Well, yeah, because it's the next game, the most important one. And I mean, I really do mean that because, again, you know, who knows? 3-4 weeks, the next game may be against somebody that doesn't have as good a record, and everybody goes, oh, this should be a wash. No, it's not, because it's an important game. Because, again, you got to keep winning. And that could be the game that could be the difference. You know, so to me, it's it has to be. We got to maintain our focus on one at a time and what's in front of us. You know, and that is the next game. We can't. There are only so many things you can control. You can't control what's already happened. You can't control what's about to happen, but you can control what is happening. And that's the mentality we're going to have, and we're going to maintain that. Because, again, you know, this is a very good football team that's coming in, and the thing we can't get caught up in is all the extraneous stuff. The thing we have to get caught up in is who our opponent is, what our opponent does, what we want to do against our opponent, and how we do it.
Does that blinders mentality get harder to maintain as you guys keep this thing rolling?
Yes, because of the outside things that are going to go on. A couple of weeks, to give a great example, we were getting ready for Atlanta. Knowing how big Atlanta is for some players individually and personally, when we started, and we had actually come off the Thursday game, so we had an extra Monday to prepare. So on that Monday, I told the guys, take care of all your ticket needs, get all everybody set up where they need to be, let's get those distractions out of the way. And let's, you know, and I hate to say put it that way about family members, but let's take care of them now. Get it out of the way so we can focus on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, what we needed to do. So, again, we'll do the same thing. We've got an extra day. I'll talk about it Wednesday. We'll talk about those things, get those things taken care of. But in the meantime, we have to focus in on New England. It's a very good football team with a tremendous history on its side. You know, they've got a coach and quarterback that have been doing it a long time, so we've got to get prepared for these guys.
The team meeting today or
what? No, they're off today, and you know, we got in very late, which you guys know. We got in very early this morning, so, you know, told the players, you know, stay home, get your rest, be pros about it, come in when you can, come in on Tuesday. Wednesday we'll come in, we'll do an early workout, take care of some things, iron out some things that are from the game. Get an early introduction to these guys, and then we'll be done, and then we'll come back Thursday, and we'll treat Thursday like a Wednesday-style practice.
So what's the message? I mean, we have one for them on Wednesday because the spotlight's going to be there. They're going to hear it tonight on the Monday night game, people talking about next week's game.
Which is great, and I hope they do, and I hope they enjoy it. But once we come in on Wednesday, the focus is now New England, and that's the thing that's going to be stressed. Again, take care of those other things on the outside, and then focus in on what has to happen come Monday night.
We've been talking all season about being relevant, wanting to be a relevant football team. Obviously, that is something you've accomplished. How do you maintain that, though? I mean, what is the message change? Does it change at all for you?
Oh, it's not going to change. It might change. If it does change from being relevant, it's going to be very relevant. But that's what we're going to do. I mean, the guys understand, and they like it. And you know, it helps. I mean, your winning helps. It makes everything taste better. And I think that's the thing our guys are getting, and they're understanding. Just, you know, it's an interesting thing because, you know, we play professional football, and we're in a great city, and we got good players that deserve some recognition, you know, and they work hard at it just like everybody else does. And, you know, so why are they any different? Well, they're not. But if you're winning, you're relevant. People pay more attention to you, and I think deservedly so. Our guys got to continue to do the things they need to do to give themselves to be relevant. I'll give you an example. Thomas Davis. You know, his story, to me, his story is a big-time story. And I don't know if it got the attention it deserved. And if you're winning games, you're doing things the right way, people pay attention. And I think it's a tremendous story. It's a story that a lot of kids and people, for that matter, should pay attention to because it's about never giving up, never quitting, chasing your dreams, and then succeeding. Why? Because of hard work, because of things that you need to do to accomplish, to be successful, to be relevant. So that's why I think it's important. That's why the message isn't going to change with these guys.
Ron, how do you forget your quarterback? Cam was a little shaky in the first half, played a lot better in the second half, but of course there are those out there that say defense and special teams won you that game.
Figures lie and liars figure. You can look at the numbers all you want. Put the tape on and see what happens. See how many times the ball got tipped, how many times the ball got dropped, how many times he overthrew it. He didn't play a bad game. And I mean it, too. I just got done watching the tape. I talked to Mike and I talked to Kenny about it, and they were in agreement with me. They thought he played pretty good. Not what people think, because they're going to look at the numbers. Oh, look at this, look at this. Well, how many balls got tipped in the line of scrimmage? How many did we drop? And then how many did he overthrow? He overthrew a few. He knows that. But when it came time to it, the two-minute drive, bam, touchdown. When it came to it, position to kick a field goal. That dump-off pass to Steve that put us in field goal position was huge. Why? Because it gave Graham Gano an opportunity to go out there and kick a winning field goal, and that's what happened. So I don't get it, But, you know, that's what people are going to see and people are going to say. So we're not going to worry about that. We're going to worry about, you know, how we do things here and things that we need to do to give ourselves a chance to win.
The play before when he took the sack, though, before the dump off, was that
what you did? Oh, yeah. I said, boy, I said, ooh. That was a tough one. You'd love to have seen him, but, again, we made a mistake. You know, we made a mistake. We missed a block. And no, that's not his. That was, you know, there's so much into it. That was a communication error between our some of our other players.
Since you mentioned, how many drops did you all count on your film review?
Three. Now again, I have not had the opportunity to visit with the coaches. You know, I gave everybody an opportunity to get in a little bit later today. They went through the films individually. Now they're getting through the films collectively. Usually by that time I've met with them, but not today.
I had three.
Yes, I had three on my account. There probably may be one or two more. But again, I also had a number of tips. So we'll go back and we'll look at those things as a staff. Probably at 4 o'clock, actually, is when I set the meeting.
Nate struggled a little bit. Will you... You didn't think
no, there were a couple things that Nate did that you would like to see him do better. There were a couple combination blocks on runs that you'd like to see him hold a little bit better and then get to the next level. There were a couple pass protection issues that came up, but those weren't his. I went through some plays specifically, and people have asked me about them specifically, so I went to Coach Matsko and asked him, and he interpreted it for me. I got the interpretation from Mike as well, so... Again, understanding what our protection calls were is part of it. Knowing that, you know, we're turning the line one way or the other, you know, is important. We need to understand what the call is. And once I got a, you know, feel for those calls and then watched the tape, you know, because I went in those plays specifically just to see, and they showed me exactly what they were doing, what the call was, and who should have had who.
Stay with him.
Oh, yeah. You know, again, we'll see how Chris Scott is, but... For now, right now, Nate did some really nice things. It was good to see Jeff Hangartner get in there. He got in for, I think it was 8 or 9 snaps. Having a veteran guy like that, getting back into football shape is important. And he adds a very nice security blanket for us in terms of the center guard combination for us. So I'm very pleased having Jeff back. It was good to see him on the football field for us.
Chris may not come back and get a spot. Possibly if Nate keeps playing well.
I didn't say that.
Okay, I'm not going to misinterpret. But through the year, though, you've taken guys out that have had bad plays, at Josh's, for instance. But there's no bitterness, or it seems like the competition is.
It's about competition, and that's what we're trying to foster here is competition. At a number of our positions, you know, the competition has to continue because we have to keep ourselves on edge and keep ourselves preparing. And in some situations, some guys, you know, they continue to do things the right way, and they'll continue to play. And if not, we'll set them down and get them to try and understand, hey, this is how it has to be done. You know, there's too many things that are important and too many things that are involved, you know, for us to accept making mistakes and continuing to make mistakes.
We need to wrap it up, guys. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys.